Okay, can you hear me better? Okay. The way that I think of mindfulness is about waking up to yourself, being present in the moment. And it's without the lens of judgment. Because it's the judgment that, like I was saying earlier, really gets us into trouble. So I actually heard, somehow or another, they came up with this figure, 46.9% of the time our mind is wandering. And so that means that almost half of the time we're not really here. And no wonder mindfulness has gotten to be so popular. because when the mind wanders and we're somewhere other than where we're at, we don't find peace, and this is where so much of our stress lies, in this wandering mind that, we're really here, but we're actually somewhere else. And so what happens is that we really lose touch with what's happening. Somebody was asking a question about, like, can you do mindfulness when you're washing dishes? Or it was something like this last week. Anyway, mindfulness is like, if you're washing dishes, it's really knowing that you're washing dishes, which could actually be a really pleasurable experience. I mean, usually washing dishes is trying to get through it so that you can get on to the next activity. But if you get into the actual act of washing dishes, there's the warm water, there's the suds, there's the whole feeling of, you know, seeing a dirty dish then end up being clean. And so can you imagine living life with really being present with what's happening? I don't know about you, but the older I get, it seems like the faster time flies. And a lot of it has to do, my understanding is that there's all these kind of things that you do over and over again, you know, as opposed to little kids, everything is new. But part of it is that if we're not really here, then half of our life is going by at a speed that's twice as fast as it otherwise would be going. So mindfulness is about taking off this lens where what's happening is that we're going about life and then we have this translation. I like this, I don't like this, this sucks, this doesn't, you know, I'm not good enough, oh, they're wrong. I mean, it's just this commentary that just is, has an overlay. And that's how almost half the time we're in our head. And so mindfulness is about taking off those lens of judgment so that we can actually be where we're at. Something that I heard was someone asked the Buddha, Buddha, are you God? And Buddha said, no, I'm awake. Buddha's referred to as the awakened one. And so this is really just about waking up. And it's pretty amazing to think that there's a lot of dreams that we're just inhabiting that aren't real. So part of the problem with these thoughts that we have is that these thoughts weave stories. And these stories are, they put us in this rabbit hole, and the stories really aren't true. And so when you see from the lens of non-judgmental awareness, what you learn is to not pay attention to those stories, because this is all out of that lens of judgment. It's not really what's happening. So what is thoughts from a Buddhist psychology perspective? So basically, Buddhist psychology sees that it's primarily the beliefs we have and how tightly we hold on to them that accounts for our mental suffering. There's a story of How to Catch a Monkey. So if you put a banana in a coconut and put a hole in there, the monkey will, I guess, sense that there's a banana in there. I guess they smell the banana, put their hand in, and then they can't get their hand out because they're holding on to the banana. And it's really easy for then the hunters to get the monkey because they're not going anywhere. And this is basically what's happening with our thoughts. We cling to our thoughts, and so it's the tenacity of this holding on, the rumination, the obsessiveness, you know, or it could also be the avoidance, but it's how tightly we hold on to these thoughts that is the source of our mental disturbance. And so mindfulness looks at thoughts as mental formations, and this is what we were practicing in that meditations. They're like clouds in the sky. And thoughts are events, not facts. So we have this tendency of personalizing. And this comes out of this whole lens of judgment. You know, I like this, I don't like this, this is happening to me, what's wrong with me? So something happens and we translate this personally. So there's three truths of reality that Buddha identified. And I'm going to be talking about the first truth in a minute, but the third one is that we have a tendency of believing that things are happening to what's called me, mine, and I, of personalizing our existence, when in actuality, it's that these are just... these are events that are just coming and going, but we have a way of saying that something happens, and then our ego is mainly these assumptions or interpretations about who we are or how we should be. And so we have this overlay of personalizing that then distorts these thoughts. So Buddhist psychology sees thoughts as these mental formations. They're events and not facts about who we are. And that brings a lot of comfort because it's really these thoughts that are so much of the problem. Our thoughts are connected to our emotions, are connected to our physiology. And so if we can look at just observing what our thoughts are and noticing if there's this overlay of judgment, then that takes away so much of our mental suffering. So the other thing about thoughts is they need to be questioned, the validity of them. Are these thoughts really true? If you look at so many of your thoughts, there's these interpretations. And so there's all these assumptions of, and they're based on, you know, the fact that these thoughts are creating these stories, and these stories then become personalized. And so much of our suffering is based on being able to understand and unpack these thoughts and see them, like in that meditation, as mental formations. There's two concepts here, the role of resistance and acceptance to suffering. So this is the first truth of the Buddha, and what he said was that life inevitably has suffering, or there's dissatisfaction that's built into life. The problem is that every time something happens, like we get sick, or we run into various problems. I mean, this happens throughout the entire day. We have this kind of delusion that life should be like living in Shangri-La where there's no problems. And so it's our resistance to the fact that life is actually the way that it is. And so we do all this fighting against what we can't change. And so it's this kind of this perfectionism thing, like, and then we have this tendency to personalize. And then something that we talked about was that The second truth of reality is that everything changes, but we have this need to keep everything constant. Like, so everything is good, and then something happens. It's like, oh, we want to get it back to things working out again. One of the things that Sharon was saying in class one was actually, this is the good news, is that everything does change. And so we don't have to fight so much about trying to keep all of our ducks in a row, which causes so much suffering. So that first truth is that life inherently is dissatisfying and has suffering. And so mindfulness encourages you to notice the resistance. Every time you're fighting against it, just notice the resistance. And so what is the antidote to resistance? To the shoulds, if onlys, why me? If this, then you know, why couldn't it be otherwise? The antidote to that then is acceptance. In mindfulness, acceptance means being with what is. So it's not condoning what's happening, or it's just being with it. And so again, this isn't about changing anything. It's about just being with what's happening. There's this book, Byron Katie, Loving What Is, and it's the way that we tend to fight against what's happening, wish that things wouldn't change, and then our tendency to personalize when really nothing is to be taken personally. So much of these, so this is where our suffering comes from. So one of the things that I'm in a mindfulness support group, actually through IMSV. We've been meeting for about 5 years now. And so someone will be talking about, oh, this is what happened. And then since we've been meeting for so often, it's just like noticing, oh, okay, that's dukkha. So dukkha means suffering. That's the Pali word for, I think it's Pali, or for suffering. Well, that's just dukkha. And so it's like, oh, just like when you have a thought, oh, just that's a thought. So we just say, oh, that's dukkha. And then we can like, okay, just be with it. There's a story that I wanted to share, and that's Buddha and the three arrows. So maybe some of you have already heard this. So basically, Buddha is talking to his students, and he says, "How do you feel when you're struck by an arrow?" And the students say, "Oh, terrible." "Well, what about a second arrow?" "Oh, that's really bad. That much worse." "And how about the third one?" "Oh, horrible, horrible." And so the Buddha says, "Well, the first arrow is like, it's life happening. I mean, things happen. But that second arrow is your thoughts about what's happening. You know, that, oh, I should have moved. The third arrow is, oh, I'll never be able to walk again. My family's going to starve." And we can just keep on adding the arrows. So the second, the third arrow, they're all optional suffering. So suffering exists, but the way that we add to it is how we resist that, you know, darn, like, I don't like this. So it's fighting against it. So the antidote then is acceptance. And Shinzen Young and his book put this into a mathematical equation. And the equation is pain times resistance equals suffering. So really notice the resistance. And then what you want to do is, one way to notice resistance is, there's a program, Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. So they have this exercise, and it's the finger cup exercise. So they have, didn't have enough to bring tonight, but basically you put both of your fingers in the finger cuff and you see how you can escape the clutches of the finger cuff. So what you notice is that if you resist, if you pull really, really hard, you actually get more stuck. And so, I mean, my fingers are really tightly in there. But if you move towards and go towards, like in the body scan, the pain, or in the meditation on thoughts, actually looking at thoughts as just like these mental formations, your fingers come out really easily. So this is one of the powerful teachings is that the harder you try, the more stuck you become. Another metaphor that I like to use is the metaphor of if you fall down a waterfall, that if you try to swim up, the force of the waterfall will just keep you there. But actually what you want to do is dive down and get outside of the force, and then literally you just pop up to the surface. That's actually one of the things I learned in river kayaking. always remember to turn towards that source. It's not avoidance is not going to help. Resisting only. What do they say in Star Trek? Resistance is futile. So turn into a Trekkie. And then lastly, what I just want to talk about is how do you work with thoughts and mindfulness? So you notice resistance. There's two questions that you want to ask. One is, how do you get stuck? And the way that you get stuck is look at how are you resisting? Whenever you have a should word or if only, could have, would have, anything, judgment and interpretation and assumption, this is resistance at play. And so ask yourself, what am I resisting? And how am I getting stuck? And then the second question is, how can I open up? And this is acceptance. So invite in acceptance. And that's, just asking yourself, how can I open up? And the way to open up is, mindfulness is not about changing the situation. And this is another, something that I really want to underscore. So if you have a situation, it's not about trying to change anything about it. It's about looking at how you're relating to it. It's the relationship. And so are you relating with resistance of some kind? And something that I do is I'm at the computer and I'm doing business over emails and I'm writing reports or one thing or another, and I notice that I'm just uptight, that basically I don't really want to be doing what I'm doing. I'd rather be doing something else. And so I notice, okay, here it is. This is dukkha, right? And I notice just the quality of attention is one of tension and impatience and frustration. And I just step back. And I'm not saying that I could do this great all the time, but this is something that I really rely on. And then breathe, make my breath the anchor or body sensations, and just anchor my attention and then move into that activity with acceptance, just being with it. And it turns out that I can actually get what I'm doing done a lot faster. And I'm more effective at it. Okay, so the next activity is going to be meditation on thoughts. And I'm just going to explain it and then open it up to questions before we get into it. So when we're doing meditation on thoughts as mental formations, that was just a preamble to the major meditation, where there's this practice called the RAIN practice that we're going to be relying on. And so when you're usually meditating, when you're meditating, sometimes a thought just is so pervasive that you can't focus on the breath, you can't focus on body sensations. If sound is your object, you can't focus on sound. It's just that thought is just so intrusive. And this is when to bring out the practice. So the first thing that you do in RAIN is the R, is the acronym. The R stands for recognize. So you just recognize the thought. And you say, okay, this is the thought, and then you label the thought. You put a store like a record label on it, or a title for a book. Like if you notice that the thought is about like never believing that you could do something, then you might put a label of, oh, here it is. This is the little engine that couldn't. And what you want to do is mindfulness is really about, like, nothing is your enemy. It's about befriending the thought. So it's not about getting rid of the thought. It's learning how to see the thoughts skillfully. Because by trying to get rid of it, it's the same sort of thing as, like, resisting. You know, the harder you try, the more stuck you become. So the more you actually try to get rid of a thought, the more tenacious the thought gets. And so if you put a level of like humor and kind of are able to see that, oh yeah, here you are, my friend, that little engine, you know, I know you well, then it allows you to just get more distance from it and not identify with the thought. Remember that you are not the thought. So this is just a thought, and it probably has the interpretation and the assumption, the storyline is probably way off from reality here. Okay, and so then the A in RAIN is after you've recognized the thought, you put a title, some sort of a title to the thought, then the A is accept the thought for what it is. Just, that's more like being with the thought, acknowledge the thought. The I is investigate. So we're going to go a little bit deeper into the RAIN practice next week when we're working with emotions. But for tonight, for the I, what we're going to do is, okay, so thoughts are related to emotions. So what emotion goes with this thought? And just get to know that, like, oh, this little engine that couldn't, it's like, oh, like there's a feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, sadness, frustration. So just sort of see, okay, well, what emotion is kind of tied there? And then also in the eye, it's what is the energy behind the thought? The energy is more like, how are you relating to that thought? Are you clinging to it? And you know, for dear life, like, are you holding on so tightly that you are the thought? Are you trying to avoid the thought, get rid of it? So how are you relating to that thought? What's the energy behind the thought? And then the last thing that you want to do is, how does the body manifest this thought? And so notice, like, oh, like this little engine that couldn't, heart, you know, heart feels kind of heavy. There's sort of a feeling of maybe numbness in my feet. So just pay attention to how the body represents this thought. And what you will find is that, like what I was saying, mindfulness is an embodied practice. So it's how the body responds to thoughts, emotions, and experiences. And so just get to know, oh, okay, so this is how the body is responding to that thought, and it gets you out of your head. So the N in RAIN is non-identify. And so as you're doing this whole thing, just always remember, I am not my thought. I am not my thought. You know, this is This is the little engine.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.